Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. Can you hear that static?
I can. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but...
It's me. Will you read the assignment and I'm going to call back in?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Your assignment from yesterday. Beginning today, your daily practice will be to 1, start your day by listening to your recording from day 20, 2, practice your behavior change, and 3, record what you notice at the end of the day. Sherry?
I think this is better, huh?
Well, it sounds good to me. So how about we go with better?
Yeah, I'm not hearing any static, so we'll go with better. All right, thank you.
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hey, Bob.
Well, I had something I was going to say that was trumped in as I was waiting on the call, which is that conditioning has no interest in play. Conditioning only has an interest in telling me I'm wrong.
Yes. For not even so that you'll decide to be right.
Right. Yeah, because what I've been looking at is that, well, my commitment is to basically say yes to life's yes around play and then to record how that's going and my intentions. And what I keep seeing is that there are all these, like, things that conditioning wants me to be looking out for and protecting against and shielding myself from, and it just has no interest in the enjoyment of this human being.
None. It has interest in you attending to it. And
yes,
a happy, playful, enjoying human being does not want to give attention to the negativity in conditioned mind.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I've seen around that is that what's been supportive is staying in the belief and kind of checking in that if I say yes when I'm offered something, I don't need to worry about the consequences. That life will let me know if there is something I need to be aware of.
That's right. The intelligence that is animating you is going to give you everything you need all the time.
Right. And what's so helpful about this retreat and, you know, this practice in general is that it takes me practicing making that choice to rewire myself, essentially, right? That, like,
yes.
The wiring is like, you know, look to the fear, stay in the fear. That's where it's going to be okay. But if I'm willing to make a choice over and over again to stay with life, well, that it's going to rewire me. It has rewired me.
That's exactly right. And fortunately, we don't just have to believe that or hope that that's true based on our own experience. Science is now able to chart that, right? That the actual pathways in the brain are changing. So, yes, we are rewiring. We are breaking those old circuits, and we are establishing new ones.
Yeah, and hopefully having fun along the way. Because, you know, it's fun. Yeah.
Right? Making that choice to say yes is fun.
Yeah. And as I reflect, you know, when I make my recordings and reflect on, like, how it's going, well, it was just a human being enjoying life, participating. There wasn't anything else.
Yes. Yeah, right. No, it's not spectacular. There are no fireworks, right? It just enjoying life. It seems crazy, doesn't it, that would be so difficult for us to do, that the assumption that we shouldn't enjoy life. Well, you should enjoy life, right? We do have that assumption, but you can't. You're not allowed to. You don't get to. And that's the proof that there's something wrong with you, because you should be able to enjoy your life, but you can't. See? Sorry, Bob.
Yeah, you should be. I should be able to enjoy my life, but here are all the things that I need to do that are hard or painful or, essentially kind of suppressing life that are somehow mm-hmm. going to get me to enjoying my life.
Yeah, you do those first. Do all of those first. Figure out how not to be the wrong person would be way up on the list, right? Do all of that first, and then after you do, then you'll get to enjoy your life.
Yep. Except in the experience, that works out perfectly.
Yeah. It's such a compelling scam, and so many people have fallen for it that it's just all around us. Right, everybody's on the same track. Darn near everybody.
Yeah. Certainly. So. All right. Well, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
So happy.
Thanks,
Bob. There's so much in that conversation, Jerry. The thing that actually dropped in for me was something so tangential. I think it was Eknath Ishwaran talking about in the Dhammapada about samskaras, right? That groove in consciousness that keeps getting worn into by repetitive behavior, and that our mm-hmm. practice is actually to not go along those grooves, and not mm-hmm. going along those grooves allows us not only to create new ones, but also not indulge the old ones. Reinforce the old ones. And it's just, there was such a thrill for me to just get that parallel of what we're rewiring in ourselves is consciousness itself.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Right? Uh-huh. It's the same process, what you were talking about with Bob. Yeah, we're rewiring the pathways in our brain, but we are rewiring pathways in consciousness itself. It's uh-huh. just, it's so thrilling, you know, just to contemplate that.
Yes, so that could be the fireworks part of the program, right? Thrill, right? It's a thrill to be present to conscious awareness.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Let me try someone else. Here we go. Next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Ashwini. Hello, Sangha. It's Brian.
Hello, Brian.
So what I've been doing is I noticed there was a distinct difference between joy that seems kind of internal, that sort of heartfelt joy about things, and fun, which seems like it's interactive. So I made a commitment to go out in the evenings wearing a headset that has like an automatic level recorder on it. So when I start talking, it records. And I started hanging out with people and places and things just to see what was going to happen. And sometimes it was a retrospective recording, but I was amazed at how much fun it is to be with other people.
And Brian, did it feel like you were able to stay present while you were doing that?
Absolutely. Yeah, uh-huh. because part of the process, part of the process was to stay present and to just be there. And not let the fact I'm wearing a headset or recording or talking around people bother me.
Uh-huh.
Because ego was like, you're going to look like you're crazy. And I'm like, no, not really. I'm just going to be talking into this headset.
So, you'd be talking on the phone.
Yeah, I mean,
that is hardly unusual.
I mean, it wasn't like I noticed that anyone was paying any attention anyway, but it was so much fun just to be around people and just immerse myself with others. And then there was just real distinct difference between joy and having fun. Fun seems like it's more interactive for some reason for me.
So you weren't necessarily engaging with people. You were just in the company of people.
Yeah, just being with people. Because I noticed that on retreats, how much fun I was having, like during the meditation period, or just being around others, being in vicinity or proximity. Yeah, the energy, something. So I'm just exploring that. I'm just starting to do that. So I'll see
what happens. Of course, what I hope you'll watch as you go along is how much your attitude of mind is influencing your experience. You know, just the notion that you want to have fun, that it drops in, well, go find some people and be in their energy and see if that's fun. And so you are in the having fun mode. And I wonder how many things would then be considered fun because you were in the having fun mode.
Yeah, well, attending, it's like the fun, you can, where am I going with this? Like paying attention, you can have fun paying attention if you are attending is fun. I don't know how else to put that.
Yes.
Like you can consciously have fun because you're attending in fun.
That's right. And because the person that you're with is fun, is interested in fun, is being fun, wants to have fun. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the orientation that makes everything fun.
Yeah. And that's real. That's really interesting because that angle is something that's different. I mean, conditioning hates that. It's just like, oh no, that's, you're just making all this up and you're only having fun because you're wearing the recorder. And I'm like, no, I'm having fun because I'm in that place where I'm here to have fun. And I can always be in that place to have fun and joy if that's my attention.
That's exactly it. And that's the key, right? Your attention is on fun and enjoyment.
Exactly.
Every time the voices come in, the negativity comes in, for that period of time, you're not having fun. As soon as attention goes back to presence, and in this case, what's in presence is having fun, then you're having fun. And, I know that for myself because I can just have a raucous good time cleaning my house. For all of those reasons. I love this house. I love this place. I love being in it. I love taking care of it. It is fun.
Yeah, it's not just it's not just attending. It's sort of like, what can I call it? The quality that you apply, the quality that you apply to your attention.
Makes
a difference.
Well, that's interesting.
Because you can apply a quality to it. It's not just that thing called attention. I think there's a quality. I mean, conditioning certainly has qualities it puts on attention.
That's right.
So,
The negativity Now, we could probably guess, and this will be fun for us to explore, that attention is just attention. It's kind of, it's like electricity, say. And then what happens with that, what's done with that varies.
Right.
Right? So it's up to us to bring the attitude of mind, of heart, of however we want to talk about that, that goes with what we want to attend to, how we want to attend.
Exactly, and I've noticed, at least for me, that it makes a difference, and I can apply that. That I can do that, it's not just the attention, it's like I can apply that position to my attention. I mean, I never knew that, so it's kind of exciting, you know?
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
What it says is you're actually able to determine your life experience. And there are few things more exciting than that.
How could anything be more exciting than that?
Right.
I mean, I can't think of too many things.
You can't think of too many.
No, that's
all right.
All right. Well, thank you very much,
Brian.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. The quality of our lives, Sherry.
Yes. Yes.
Mm. Yeah, that was just it. That was just, it's just amazing when we experientially confirm a practice principle.
Yes, when we apply it and prove to ourselves that it's true.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is what the Buddha taught, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't believe experience.
Yeah, don't believe it, but don't disbelieve it. Find out for yourself. Have the experience.
Well, and I really appreciate that point about not disbelieving it, because that's what conditioning would do. So if I'm not supposed to believe it, then I can just not believe anything. Rather than not believing, don't believe anything, is actually an encouragement to have your experience. But that's the part that we conveniently forget.
You're right. Ego's very invested in us forgetting that piece of it.
Yeah, yeah, I think we were saying that on the show previously, I think yesterday or something like that, where the answer is hidden in the question, right? It's just that the conditioned perspective only can see one aspect of it. And so the most obvious aspect of it isn't seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is, what it is not seen, but what is not is, because that's how we're programmed.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work. Then it's not incumbent on me to look at acceptance means it doesn't work, but I have all of the possibility in trying to look at how to make it work.
Yes. Which is the excitement part of the program, right? I mean, we need to be engaged. We need to be curious. We want to find out. We're scientists, not scientists with a bias, but just purely wanting to see. And, of course, what we're attempting to see is what sees.
Yes. Ultimately, absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the conversation we were having with Catherine about what is true.
Yeah.
It's that which sees, not what is seen. Yeah.
Oh, thanks for bringing that back up. That's really good. When we say something like that, what is true about you? What's true about me is not a list of characteristics that ego has programmed me to believe. That's not it, right? Because how does all of that happen? What is the intelligence, the awareness, the clarity that can enable even the process of believing?
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. Yeah, not stop. But how stuff is possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning, Ashwini and Sherry. It's Marianne from Vancouver.
Well, hello, Marianne. What are you seeing?
Well, a number of things. One of the things I really notice is all of the aspects of the process seem to have the same things throughout the subject matter. So, and when I look at them, it's the things that are in the Bamboozle book. You know, there's confusion, there's denial, there's all of these aspects that come up to prevent me from being present. And it just seems to, it just translates through anything that I look at.
So the process is the same. How that's being done is the same. So if we take confusion, the process of confusion happens in the same way, whether we're talking about play or money or sexuality or relationship or whatever. The confusion, the process of confusion is done to you, all of us, Marianne, all of us, done in the same way.
Yeah, what it seems like is that, so it's the same thing, and it's interesting. I'm now tuned into, okay, that's the process of confusion. I just see, that's... Like, it just came up in the last conversation. I went, I don't understand this. I don't know what they're talking about. And I just realized, no, that is confusion that is trying to confuse me so that I don't...
Yes, well, because it, let me tell you, and then you can see if this is your experience. What happens is you're going along, you're listening, you're right here, and then attention goes up to conditioned mind, and there's a voice that says, I don't know what they're talking about. And that's the process of confusion.
Mm-hmm. So I also noticed this during my morning meditation when I'm sitting on the cushion and even doing the rosary or just meditating, that the process of the ego trying to get in there and derail me. It just always keeps trying to get in there. And yes. I just see it more clearly now, I guess.
Yes. Yes. Which is essential, isn't it? Because we talk about this in practice all the time. It's almost impossible for people to realize the difference between their, and we'll say now, their authentic nature and egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. It's almost impossible because we've believed that ego conditioning process is who we are for so long. Okay? And there you are sitting there and you can see the difference, right? What are you? Well, you're the awareness that is aware of what ego is doing, trying to pull you off, trying to get you to look at it, trying to engage you with something.
I'm the awareness that's playing whack-a-mole.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
And you can feel it. You can feel it. And you said whack-a-mole, and I think you said that facetiously, because once we catch on to it, it's not a problem anymore. It's like, so I don't know if anybody else can hear this, but right outside my window, the power company is deforesting as much of the area as they can. And I mean, it is just a god-awful racket, right? And so I get to be talking with you, and that racket is going on, okay? So if my attention goes to that racket, it's, oh, my God, you know, okay? But if attention stays with you, that racket's not a problem. It's not doing anything to me.
Yeah.
I have to do something to me by turning attention to that and having an opinion about it.
Yes, I agree, and it's what I notice is it's also it's part of practice and it's part of the discipline to keep refocusing,
yes,
or to stay your attention.
That's right. You just come back to awareness. Come back to awareness. You realize attention was drawn there. Something was done. Juicy little thought went through. Okay, attention went there. All right, back to awareness. Attention. Come back here. Back here. Let's stay here.
So I am using this one for play when I sit at the computer and I'm doing something. And I can start out with the intention, I'm playing here. And then it can shift into work.
Yep.
Part of how that gets caught is there is because the sense of urgency comes up. Like when there's no urgency, but there's that pressure. Anyway, so that's what I'm working with on my commitment.
And you're watching the same process, right?
Yeah.
So in this case, it's not a juicy little thought or a memory or a what I need to do later when you're sitting. Now you're the computer and the habit that ego has you engaged in is looking for a sensation of urgency.
Yeah.
Okay? Goes to the sensation of urgency, and there's the you lose presence, right? So come on, attention, back here. We're playing now. Yeah. It's very good. Very exciting.
Yeah, it's it's very playful.
It's very playful and enjoyable.
Yes. Yes, it does bring a different quality to your life when you can see through the
Absolutely.
Eyes of playing.
Absolutely. And actually, technically, through the eyes of awareness.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you. Thank you, Sangha. Goodbye.
Thanks, Marianne.
Bye-bye.
Sherry, we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Hello. Hi. I was just getting ready to put wax on my surfboard, and here I am.
There you are.
Yeah. I haven't called in a while, so I was just determined this morning. I'm fixated on something somebody said right before me, so I'll drop my whole prepared speech about it was something to the effect that the way I heard it inside myself was I don't have to constantly be prepared, and I have to-do lists that cross-reference other to-do lists that somehow life would drop in for me and take care of me, which, you know, I'm moved just even saying it because that's not my conditioned operating system. I always have to be on it, in control, in charge. And just the thought of that is such a relief. God, I was like, really? Is that true?
Well, Susan, it is actually your experience. The belief is that being in control is what has enabled your life to go the way it has gone. But in fact, the truth of the matter is that you have been guided, directed, assisted, supported with each breath. And that without that, you would not exist. And there's no amount of control that a human being can exert that is going to affect that. And everybody who has died would attest to that.
Mm-hmm.
One second later, no amount of control they could have been in, every muscle in their body tensed in an effort to control through their entire lives, and suddenly it's very, very clear that it doesn't work.
I can feel the relief just hearing it, and inside me, I can feel this kind of, I so want to know that more in my life and live from that place, and just calling and saying it kind of like builds on that belief and that wish and that desire to know that, and not intellectually, but know it experientially.
That's right. And so how might one do that?
Actually, play is such a vulnerable thing. It's a real letting go of control, I think. It's hard for me, like it's a stepping out there. And
the word I was going to offer, but it's yours
yeah,
is a good
go
one.
Ahead.
Mine also starts with a P, practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you if you realize that you were an alcoholic, and you found yourself in this big conversation about, you know, I just don't know what to do. I would like not to be an alcoholic, but I just don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. And of course, if you talk to somebody like me, I would say, well, you need to stop drinking.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the way to do that, right? And so the way to realize that you have no control, that control is an illusion, it's just actually making you miserable as ego eats up your life, then you need to go up against it and take the control. Lie away from ego. It's the only way. You can't go through every day believing ego's stories about control and suffering the consequences of that, wishing that you weren't doing that. The only way
is
to stop doing that.
Well, I was trying to think of like a little practice that I could put into place, you know, in addition to recording, listening, just around like today, do not consult your to-do list. Trust that what needs to be done, you know, just something that would make it concrete, something that I, of course, in my mind goes, well, you could put that on your to-do list, but of a practice of that would take me to that place, or that actually kind of scary place of letting go of control and managing my life.
Another one that you could do is to practice relaxing, because it's the tension in the body that maintains the loop of that control story, right?
It's absolutely.
The computer, when the urgency kicks in, then up to conditioned mind, what do I need to do? Okay, and then conditioned mind is going to tell you what you need to do in order to have control of that. So practicing relaxing your body, relaxing, not going to conditioned mind, just being with the breath, being in the heart several times a day, and recording what that's like, and then listening to those recordings could sneak up on it in a different direction. Take the to-do list out of it completely.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Relaxing is not one of my skills, so I'll look at that.
That's right.
You know, it's just great to be in contact. I just miss you all when I don't call in. So,
and
glad
so
to be here.
Stop doing that.
I have to stop doing.
Stop doing. It's going to be a big theme, okay? All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Susan.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Ashwini?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay, well, all I was saying is that brings us to the end of the show and reading the assignment. So the assignment for today, do your daily practice, whether you feel like it or not. Practice ignoring any voice of resistance, especially I don't want to and I don't feel like it.
All right. Well, lovely. Let's go.
And we will talk tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Go ahead.
Thanks, everybody.